This is The Week in Review. I'm Joy Cardine on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We have two guests with us from different perspectives to talk about the top international, national, and state stories in the news this week. And we'll welcome your input, too. What would you like to talk about? The terror attack in France? The new battles between Congress and President Obama? Governor Walker and his presidential aspirations? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk at WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Let me welcome our guests. We have with us Matt Rothschild, the executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, former editor of the Progressive Magazine. Well, good morning and congratulations, Matt.
Hey, Joy, thanks. I'm loving the new job and happy new year to you, and I'm glad you got to see your snowy owl up at Goose Pond.
We will talk about my snow owl later, maybe, but yeah, that was fun. Matt, David Blaska is also with us, former Dane County supervisor. His Blaska's Bring It blog can be found at ibmadison.com. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Joy, and this morning you can call me Charlie in solidarity.
Well, let's talk about that. I am Charlie. We all are Charlie, talking about the attack in Paris, France, on the satirical magazine that ran cartoons mocking Mohammed, and 12 people were shot dead. Right now, there is a manhunt going on right now, and they possibly the two brothers who are believed responsible for this are close to being captured. Why did you say, call me Charlie, David?
Well, because I think that's what people are saying, je suis Charlie. You know, this the editor of this magazine, which has been sort of doing what Progressive has been doing. It's kind of challenging authority for many years, at least since 1970. They named it after Charles de Gaulle, who they had famously in a previous iteration had challenged. But obviously I guess it's the courage of the editor who, you know, said, I'd rather die standing than live on my knees. That appeals to me. I think that's what all journalists should be about when push comes to shove. And so we're not going to go back to the 12th century.
What are your thoughts, Matt?
Well, I totally agree with David on this. It was a really repulsive, barbaric act carried out by people who are distorting the religion of Islam and acting like nihilists. And it was a huge assault on freedom of the press and freedom of expression. And what has been heartening is to see all the people in France and then all around the world standing up and defying this kind of religious totalitarianism.
I was glad, Joy, to see, too, that the Egyptian president, El-Sisi, is calling for some self-examination of the religion of Islam and what is the truth. And we need to hear from more, not only Arab leaders, but Muslim leaders, whether they're Turkish or Indonesian or Pakistani, about freedom of expression and this anti-intellectualism, I think, that is at the heart of the jihadist movement.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have the news is that just northeast of Paris, police believe they have cornered two men that are suspected in that attack. Apparently, it's close to, they might be being captured. But I'm wondering, President Obama said that the U.S. was going to help France bring those responsible to justice. Is this something that, Matt, we should be worried about happening here?
Oh, I think it is a risk. And I've, since 9/11, been worried about, one or two people carrying on an act of terrorism, especially in a big city. I don't think anywhere in Wisconsin we're at real risk, but New York, Chicago, Washington, San Francisco, L.A., Las Vegas, Walt Disney. If someone wants to do some real mischief, it's possible that they could do it. And I do just want to make one policy point, and that is there'll always be someone who's going to take issue with whatever the United States does, but according to Le Monde, the French paper, these guys were radicalized by Bush's Iraq War and by Abu Ghraib. So to the extent that we can stop doing stupid things that inflame people with our policy, I think that would be better.
Well, you know, and they could stop doing even more stupid things. I think, you know, there, people are always going to have an excuse. I mean, the two shooters in New York who killed the one shooter in New York who killed the two policemen, he had his excuse. Not good enough. This you know, Adolf Hitler, and I don't want, you know, Godwin's law here, but they all have their excuses, and they all have their grievances. The question is, how do you resolve your grievance? You know, we put the people at Abu Ghraib on trial. I think, you know, Matt, if I want to just throw one back at you, how many more people are we going to let go from Guantanamo? In other words, if they catch these guys in France, what are they going to do with them? At some point, this becomes not just an issue of the criminal justice system. It does become a military issue. I just want to throw this out. I think all these kind of people, including Sarnoff in Boston, you know, really ought to have been tried in a federal military court where the punishment is universally death.
Well, I don't agree with that, because I think people should be tried with our great criminal justice system, and I also don't think the people responsible for Abu Ghraib have been tried, because I don't think George W. Bush and Dick Cheney and Donald Rumsfeld have been tried.
No, and I well, okay.
Wow.
On Point.
Didn't
coming
see that
up,
one coming.
the program On Point will have more on the situation unfolding this morning in Paris and more on the that issue. But let's talk about some of the issues making news here in Wisconsin as well. Governor Scott Walker officially kicked off his second term in office with the inauguration on Monday. In his address, Walker contrasted his record with the federal government, saying, "We get things done here in the Badger State, unlike those in Washington." David Blaska, what are you hoping Walker and the Republican majorities get done in Wisconsin this session?
My New Year's wish was for the governor to send in the National Guard and take over the Milwaukee Public Schools, because the National Guard acts where there's a natural disaster. Milwaukee Public Schools are a disaster. I think they have something like 160 schools, 50 of which fewer than 10% of the students attending can read at grade level. It's the only school district in the state to receive an F grade from the Department of Public Instruction. Now, I do see some movement toward that, but in terms of taking a failing school and flipping it over to a charter school, you've got to do something. You know, that generation can't be lost. They have to move along with the rest of us into the knowledge society.
Well, what about the Milwaukee Public Schools, Matt? Are they failing, and can they be fixed?
Well, I'm worried about the destruction of our entire public school system here in Wisconsin, as Scott Walker and all those private forces that are throwing lots and lots, millions of dollars into privatizing public education, into setting up voucher schools and charter schools and even virtual schools, which Walker was touting in his speech. This is siphoning off funds, much-needed funds, that should go to improving our public schools. And this dual school system that's being set up right before our eyes, I think, is going to spell the end of decent public education all across the state.
There is the school accountability bill that a Republican state representative introduced this week. The Democrats had their own. There's also, I guess, a disagreement among Republican ranks on exactly what the school accountability bill should say or do. David Blaska, what should it say or do?
Well, I think, you know, the Republicans and conservatives are all about accountability. I just want to, you know, that's why I part with a lot of my friends, Matt, and Joy, in terms of, I think we have to have a common core. Now, whether it's the current list, there has to be some measure, some yardstick against which progress can be measured. I've said, you know, going back to Milwaukee a little bit, give the top fifth of performing teachers, give them a bonus, fire the bottom fifth, and give the other everyone else steak knives. We have to, you know, we have to do some. So the Accountability Act should say, if you're failing or if you're not measuring up, we have to have testing. So that it comes down to, are they performing? So they're building off the DPI's, Department of Public Instruction's, letter grade system.
What do we need for the for accountability, Matt?
Not steak knives, I don't think. Yeah. But look, as far as Milwaukee goes, the teachers, the administrators, the principals, the school nurses, everybody in administration there are taking the weight of the social problems of our cities that have been deindustrialized, like Milwaukee, and taking all those problems on their shoulders, the problems of poverty, the problems of joblessness, and to demand that the teachers and the principals solve those problems within 4 years or get fired, I think is grotesque.
Well, you know, I certainly, Matt, I recognize that people have problems. And too many people, I think, especially on your side, say we've got to solve poverty first. The best way to solve poverty is with education. I think we need to have, you know, if Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson are going to come to Milwaukee, as Jesse Jackson did, I think it was last week, week before, I wish they'd say, kids, go to school, do your homework, get a private, a part-time job if a minimum wage doesn't knock it out. You may have to work a little bit harder than your counterparts in Wauwatosa, let's say, or River Hills. But that's what it takes to succeed. You've got to. There's no other way around it. And, Matt, these schools in Milwaukee have been failing long before the 4 years that Scott Walker's been governor. I mean, they were asking, you know, the union was there about ready to hit the bricks over Viagra.
Well, they've been failing since Milwaukee just got crushed economically with deindustrialization. So that's been a big part of the decimation of the middle class African Americans in Milwaukee, and so that's a huge problem. Jesse Jackson does speak about. I listen to Jesse Jackson's radio show on Sunday mornings, and he does address that issue a lot of times when I'm listening. And I know President Obama has been preaching that to, especially to black audiences.
We are going to take a short pause, and then we will take some calls for Matt Rothschild and David Blaska, talk a little bit more about accountability and education, but many other topics to talk about as well. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Week in Review on the Ideas Network. This is the Week in Review. I'm Joy Cardine, talking with David Blaska and Matt Rothschild during this edition of the Week in Review about the top news stories of the week. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Let's go to Diana in Eau Claire next. Hello, Diana.
Good morning. I think we all agree that the students of Milwaukee Public Schools have been failed by their leadership, but I don't think student achievement is what's driving this interest in charter schools, if you look at actual evidence. And I mirror this to the prison system, changes in sentencing, the rise of the number of prisoners we have and the corporate interest there. Education is just the next feeding ground. Let's make money here. That's what I think is going on. Thank you.
Is that what you think is going on, Matt?
I do think it's a big part of it. I mean, let's look at the private interests at stake here. The big lobbying group for privatizing schools here in Wisconsin, the American Federation for Children, spent $1 million in funding races in Wisconsin in 2014, according to the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, where I work. And look, the three former Republican speakers are all working for the American Federation for Children. Scott Jensen, Gard, and Jeff Fitzgerald, and they were all there salivating during Governor Walker's inaugural address. It was unseemly.
You have a comment, David?
Yeah, I mean, let's just say that we all go, all schools go to a private, for-profit model. Great. If they're making a profit, if that means someone is happy with the results, that there's some satisfaction, because no one's forced to go to a voucher school. There's a choice involved, a consumer choice. I happen to be a big fan of Apple computers, and I have been since 1985, just 1 year after the Mac came out. You know, if you own Apple stock, you've made a lot of money because it's a great product. And by the way, the late Steve Jobs was a big fan of education reform. Bill Gates is a big fan of education reform. Jeffrey Canada, you go on and on. Eva Moskowitz, black, white, and in between. Kalim Kerr here in the city of Madison, a black man and former president of the Urban League, had a charter school proposal that would have directed its attention to especially young black males who are most at risk. But the powers that be in the city of Madison, the liberal and progressive hegemony, turned them down.
Let's take a call from Camille in New Berlin. Hi, Camille.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Just a few comments. Firing the teachers who are, quote, underperforming. Many teachers whose students do not show test scores that are high are teaching severely at-risk students, students who are cognitively disabled or students who come from another language background, and they are still forced to take these tests. You're not getting rid of the best teachers, the worst teachers, when you get rid of teachers whose students do not perform well on tests. Sometimes these are our hardest working professionals.
I think what we're looking at, caller, is are you making progress? Obviously, if you're dealing with someone who's developmentally disabled, you're not expecting them to rank in the 10th percentile.
But I think Camille makes a good point. Our public schools are required to educate every child. And these voucher schools, these charter schools, these fly-by-night virtual schools are not. And they can just skim the best students and show great results. And that's not, an equal test. That's apples and oranges. And some of these schools, are not doing very well. Some of these private voucher schools and charter schools either. You know, the people make money. They get the public's funds. They take the money, and then they shut down 6 months later, and they run off with the money. So this idea that we're going to give people the public's money to profit from public education, which is a public good, just is something anathema to me and I think to millions of people in Wisconsin.
Well, Matt, I think it was about a month ago, it was headline news that maybe they were fed this information, that $139 million was spent over the last 10 years on failed voucher schools. That was big headlines. But in just 1 year, taxpayers spent $500 million on chronically failing public schools. So I wish some of these public schools would close down. It's time to try something different. And throwing more money at a problem when there's not more money to be thrown in still what is one of the high-tax states in the nation, it's just not a viable solution.
Well, one reason there's no money to be thrown is he's siphoning it off to these private education companies.
We probably should move on to some other issues. We will be talking with State Representative Jerry Thiesfeldt, who is the author of the Assembly School Accountability Bill, during our Monday State Capitol Report from 7:30 until 8. So we'll take up this topic in our State Capitol Report on Monday. Governor Walker also says he will talk more about school accountability in his State of the State address, which will be next Tuesday night. We'll carry that on the Ideas Network, too, and have plenty of reaction the following day. But let's just get a quick preview of the State of the State. Matt, how would you describe the State of the State of Wisconsin?
Well, I think Scott Walker is bit by bit, piece by piece, dismantling almost every good progressive aspect of living in Wisconsin, whether it's public education, whether it's the environment, whether it's labor rights, whether it's campaign finance. They're just going after it hook and craw, and he's got the power to do it. And so I imagine he's going to do it. I don't buy his crocodile tears about right-to-work legislation being a distraction. And Fitzgerald himself said that the governor hasn't told him that it's a distraction or to go slow on it. I suspect that that's the next shoe that's going to drop. And there's a lot of money behind that. Well, for instance, Diane Hendricks from ABC Supply in Beloit gave $1 million to the Wisconsin Republican Party last year. And she was infamously shot in a video that was in a movie about Janesville, Walker giving her a big hug, and she's saying, when are we going to turn Wisconsin into a completely red state and get right to work? And so Wisconsin's becoming red right now, at least if you count the people in power, and right to work is right around the corner, it looks like.
Well, react on right to work, but also your assessment on the state of Wisconsin, David.
Well, I don't know. Personally, I can't complain, and I don't know that too many people do, except in maybe an ideological kind of way. First of all, property taxes went down for the overwhelming number of Wisconsin citizens because the state of Wisconsin, the Scott Walker and his Republican legislature, front-end loaded, funded the state vocational college system. When have we ever had a two-year tuition freeze at the University of Wisconsin? Just those two things. On right to work, that's maybe a topic for another 15 minutes here. Matt, I'm going to somewhat agree with you to the extent that I do make a distinction between the public sector, government employees, and private sector. If ABC Corporation, which I think actually is Diane Hendricks' company, and by the way, go to Beloit and ask if people don't love the Hendricks there and her late husband. That's a city that could have fallen by the boards. They employ so many people down there. I do draw a distinction with the private sector. If a corporation wants to make a binding contract with a labor union and says you've got to be a member of that union, David Blaska has no particular constitutional right to work at ABC Corporation. And so I draw that distinction. I think Scott Walker understands that. I think he has many friends in the blue-collar industries and workers. I truly believe that he does not want to rile, for instance, the operating engineers who believe that we should be mining for iron in Iron County.
I'm Joy Cardine with David Blaska and Matt Rothschild. This is The Week in Review. If you would like to talk about any issues in the news this week, we will. Let me see what else we'll talk coming up. President Obama wants community colleges to be free for high school graduates. We'll talk a little bit about that coming up. We'll also talk about the Keystone XL oil pipeline and more. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Well, Governor Walker will deliver his biennial budget address on Tuesday, February 3rd, just announced yesterday. He said earlier that his budget will cut property taxes, but he's making no promises about lowering income or corporate taxes. This comes while the state is facing a $2.2 billion shortfall for the budget that begins in July. So, David, how is Governor Walker going to make this work?
Well, you know, first of all, I would quote a great quarterback for the Green Bay Packers, R-E-L-A-X. Scott Walker and his Republican legislature are not going to raise taxes. I don't care what the dollar figure is for the projected budget deficit. The bottom line is he's not going to raise taxes. I think, you know, in terms of the highway problem, I one solution that I've been promoting in my small way, and it's been floated here and there, is to have tolls for our interstate highway system. And I think it would be, I think you'd have an exemption for Wisconsin licensed drivers. So basically we'd charge folks from Illinois to come into Wisconsin and, you know, and then maybe we'd close it for the weekend. But that kind of thing. Wisconsin's open if you are willing to pay to get in.
Oh, do you think that's what's going to happen, Matt?
Tourist tax.
Yes.
I don't think that's going to happen. And I think Scott Walker's got a problem balancing the budget with his insistence on, you know, giving breaks here and there to companies and not doing anything about property taxes. I'm glad he isn't raising mine. But, you know, you got to make a balance, and I don't see how he's going to get it done.
Well, the governor says he is not particularly keen on raising gas taxes to help pay for road projects in Wisconsin. The Department of Transportation wants to raise taxes on unleaded and diesel fuel as a part of a $750 million proposal to pay for roads. Walker says he's looking at efficiencies and other options to pay the transportation bills. Toll roads is what David thinks ought to happen. What do you think ought to happen, Matt?
Well, I'm in favor of raising the gas tax. I think it's important for our environment. I do worry about a regressive hit on people's incomes, but we need to get ourselves off of gasoline. And this is one way to do it, and the state needs money. And so if we can get people to drive more fuel-efficient cars, if that's an incentive, that's a positive incentive.
Hmm. Anything else on the transportation budget, David?
Toll roads.
That's all. All right. We are talking about the news of the week. I'm Joy Cardine with David Blaska and Matt Rothschild, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Well, the governor in his inauguration address was making a lot of comparisons to Washington and how Wisconsin get things done and Washington does not get things done. Let's talk about President. I just made a slip there. Let's talk about Governor Walker's presidential aspirations. We talked with a guest after the inauguration who said, "Well, there's no doubt about it. He's running for president." Is that right, David Blaska?
Well, I still have some communication with my old benefactor, Tommy Thompson, and you know, and I see that he is, you know, saying, "Scott, if you're going to run for president, do it sooner rather than later." Tommy waited a bit. I think, you know, as much as I love Tommy Thompson, I wrote a lot of his speeches, which probably, you know, killed him politically. But, you know, no one's, you know, he's historic. I mean, no one's had as great a run as governor, despite, by the way, Matt, you know, the bile from the progressive and everyone in your corner. Tommy Thompson has judged a tremendous success. And he started school choice, by the way, with Polly Williams, late Polly Williams.
So he's now against it, by the way.
She's against expanding it out of Milwaukee, and she's now deceased. But I think just one more thing about Scott Walker. I've never, as much as I love Tommy Thompson, Scott Walker has it all over anyone I've seen locally here in the state of Wisconsin in terms of being comfortable in his own skin in a debate setting. Just body language and his colloquial manner, and yet attention to detail and staying on message. He'll, you know, it's going to be a crowded field. I think Scott Walker in the debates, and I thought that your candidate did okay, but Mary Burke did all right. But Scott Walker just wowed me.
Well, she wasn't my candidate. I don't endorse candidates. I thought it was kind of sad to hear Tommy Thompson come out and have such remorse that he didn't run sooner. It was, you know, Tommy Thompson, I could have been a contender, kind of a lament. As far as I'm going to agree here with David, actually.
There should be a bell or something.
Where is that thing?
Yeah, ding.
And that is... God, I have 100 differences with Scott Walker, but there are a lot of people in this state who loathe Scott Walker so much that they blind themselves to his real political skills. It's not for nothing that he won 3 elections in the last 4 years. It's not just because he had a ton of money. And I think people have shortchanged him a little bit because he is an extremely disciplined politician who stays on message, who works really hard. He doesn't screw up. He has a kind of aw shucks demeanor that he sticks to, and that's been a winning formula for him. He's been doing this for a long time. He knows his business. He knows the political trade, and he's not the most dynamic personality, but he's not going to, you know, mess up on stage during the debate like some Republican governors do.
How do you think, Matt, his probable run for president will affect policy in Wisconsin?
Well, I don't know. What worries me is he's going to cater to the far right, because it's the far right that comes out in Republican primaries. And if he does that, I mean, this punitive, you know, drug test people in Wisconsin who are getting food stamps, you know, why don't we drug test the CEOs who are getting, you know, incentives and subsidies from the government here, too. So if he does those kinds of things, I think that would be too bad.
Well, that's interesting, Matt. My friends on the far right, and that's where most of them are, excuse me, they're afraid that Scott Walker's going to go cautious, that running for president, he's already made his bones, so to speak, with Act 10, and that he's just going to try not to roil the waters and try to be seen as someone who's got all the bona fides, and he's got, you know, the religious thing going for him, and it's purely honest. He's got a great family, which is real. And so, that's the other thing I can say about Scott Walker, is he's very authentic. It's not the, bring the wife up there and have him smile. You know, there's some real love there. And so I think the fear is that he'll be too cautious.
Well, the Governor Walker will attend the Iowa Freedom Summit later this month. He joins a long list of potential 2016 presidential hopefuls for the GOP, including New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, Texas Senator Ted Cruz, and some others.
By the way, Joy, Chris Christie has lost Wisconsin. He might as well not even. I hope, stay away from Prairie du Chien. Don't, if you're in Dubuque, stay on that side of the river. After being with Jerry Jones in the Cowboy Stadium, he's toast.
You know what? That's our week in review quiz question will be related to Christie and Hugs and Governor Walker and others things. So that's coming up at the end of the show. Does Governor Walker?
He's going to start quoting.
I know. Does Governor Walker stand a good chance of winning the GOP nomination for president, David?
Well, I think I think he was actually born in Iowa, if I recall, and his father was a minister there in a small church. It's not very hard to get to Iowa from here, I'm told. So yes, I think he has a real chance. Jeb Bush coming in. A lot of my friends on the right, they loathe him as a rhino. Jeb Bush, I don't. I like Jeb Bush a lot. I like all the Bushes. Maybe I'm unique that way. I think there is Bush fatigue, but I think Jeb Bush right now is the story in the party, and it's sort of like Jeb Bush and everyone else.
And I think Rand Paul's got some legs too. Because he appeals to a younger constituency. He appeals also to a far-right constituency, a libertarian constituency. A lot of those folks like to come out and vote during the primaries, and so I think he could be a real contender, too. So I think Walker's behind those two, but you never know. You never know in a race.
Kay in Wauwatosa is with us. Hello, Kay.
Hi. Yes, I just wanted to make a comment in regards to Governor Walker's debating abilities. I watched him debate, and I find that when he does stay on topic, he does very well. However, when he is pushed on a question that is off topic, he flounders, and it becomes embarrassing to watch.
Huh? Quick reaction.
No, I think the facts speak for themselves. Mary Burke was foundering when she was, confronted with the plagiarism thing. But Scott Walker stays on the message, and one of the debating tricks is talk about what you want to talk about.
Let me ask you both very quickly to respond to a story in the Washington Post this week. It was on Governor Walker's lack of a college degree. Is that going to hurt him, David?
No, I don't think so. I think it was. Well, it doesn't matter who it was. Something like 70%, and I found this hard to believe, Matt, but 70% of Wisconsin does not have a college degree. It's a little bit elitist to, you didn't go, you didn't finish Marquette. Some pretty decent presidents, including Harry Truman, the most recent one, did not have a college degree. Steve Jobs did not finish college. Bill Gates did not finish college. There's a long list of people who didn't finish college. So I, plus the fact I think that, he's outsmarted the Democrats.
The governor says he has a degree in getting things done, and along those lines, Matt, is it going to be a big deal or not?
The fact that he didn't finish college I don't think is a showstopper. What happened to him in college, and it's a little murky, that may be a stumbling block for him, but that remains to be seen.
Well, just on that, Matt, PolitiFact did an exhaustive, thorough, heavily footnoted examination on that. And, the fact is, you and I may not have made the same decision for the same reasons, but he was not kicked out. He did not do anything wrong. He quit, and that's what he did.
I got to take a break. This is the Week in Review. Our guests are David Blaska, former Dane County supervisor and blogger, Matt Rothschild, the new executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, former editor of the Progressive Magazine. We have many other issues still to talk about, including the future of the Keystone XL oil pipeline and other happenings in Congress. And other state political news as well. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Week in Review. I'm Joy Cardine with Matt Rothschild and David Blaska. And let's hit on a few other issues that we promised we would talk about. House Republicans are poised to pass a bill today to authorize construction of the Keystone XL oil pipeline. The Senate is expected to pass it next week. Then it'll likely be vetoed by President Obama. Matt, should this project be approved or rejected, and why?
No, you know, we need to get off of fossil fuels. We're burning up the earth and the earth's atmosphere. And if we don't start doing this, you know, in a generation or two, we're going to be in an unrecognizable planet. And there are going to be millions of people who are going to be drowning from floods and other terrible climate freak occurrences that aren't going to be so freak anymore. And so, you know, James Hansen, the NASA climatologist, has said that this is game over if the Keystone pipeline is approved. And I really hope that President Obama does exercise that veto. And I hope he doesn't then turn around after his process of review is done and then approve the thing.
David.
Well, you know, I often accuse President Obama of not bringing moral clarity to the office. As George Bush said, basically, you know, after 9/11, either with us or against us. And Ronald Reagan says, my strategy is we win, they lose. That's moral clarity. But he's brought moral clarity to this issue, Matt. You know, the champagne corks had barely been popped, you know, with the new Congress coming in and John Boehner being reelected speaker, when the president said, basically, no, we're not going to negotiate. I'm going to veto anything you send up on Keystone XL. So much for working with the other side. And now we know where the problem is. He's not going to work. He's not going to negotiate. A couple things have happened. I understand that the idea here, we're going to starve America of energy. And therefore, that puts in the elite into control of who gets what and when. But the fact of the matter is, gasoline is now below $2 a gallon in many places. The fact of the matter is, we're now reaching energy independence. We're not kowtowing to OPEC. We're not funding the dictators. The fact of the matter is, you know, you want to talk about the environment, you know, forget the 20,000 jobs. More oil was spilled on rails in the railroads last year than it was spilled in four decades before that. And that's not even counting the tremendous explosions and whatnot in that little Canadian town. I'm thrilled by rail. I like railroads, but that's a problem.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says President Obama is obstructing the change American voters want by threatening to veto the Keystone pipeline. He says he is holding out hope that the GOP could work with Obama on other issues like trade agreements, infrastructure improvements, and tax reform.
That's just a joke. I mean, yeah, I mean, for Mitch McConnell, of course. I mean, the voters voted for President Obama to come in, and what was Mitch McConnell's first reaction? We're going to do everything we can to make him a failed president. And now he's saying that President Obama's obstructing.
Which is pretty unique, because Mitch McConnell was a minority leader. So, I mean, you're giving a lot of credit to a guy that didn't even have the votes in the Senate. You know, Barack Obama, his strategy was go for socialized, near socialized medicine and not jobs. Matt, there was a time when Barack Obama was talking about shovel-ready jobs. I think that describes Keystone XL. A lot of hard hats in America would be put to work on that job. And by the way, people, now Mary Landrieu is no longer on the Senate, but Heidi Heitkamp from North Dakota and Joe Manchin from West Virginia, two Democrats, they want Keystone XL. I tell my friends on the right, let Barack Obama continue to destroy his party.
President Obama will make a stop in Tennessee today, and he will tout that state's program that provides free community and technical college tuition for 2 years to state high school graduates. The president says he wants to make community college free for everyone who is willing to work for it. We don't have all the details, Matt, but does that sound like a good idea?
It sure does. For the longest time, I've been wondering why Democrats haven't been coming out and saying we want free college education. And that's an expansion from what Obama's going to say next week for people who qualify academically. A lot of countries do that. We don't. I think we need to make education affordable, and it's not affordable right now. And to give people a guarantee that if they get the grades, they can go to school, higher education, not pay for it, I think that would be great.
You know, if there's a sound effect for radio here of my eyes rolling back in my head, you'd employ it right now. More free stuff. This is what Barack Obama's all about. More free stuff. More free food.
They have to work for it, though.
I don't know. How do they work for it?
Tell me. I don't know. We don't know the details yet.
How do they work for it? I tell you how you work for it. You get a job. You folks start. Here's the thing. If you have to pay, I'm one who says every single citizen in the United States should pay something for income tax. It should be because you got to understand all this costs something. But we're going to try to teach the next generation there's all kinds of free stuff, and Uncle Foolish will give it to you if you vote Democrat. And we're getting spending money disciplines the mind. So that, you know, I'd like to study comparative French literature, but to be honest about it, the job market right now, maybe I should take welding and just do the French literature in my spare time, because you've got to be responsible. And we're going down the, I mean, this is the tipping point here, folks.
Well, but here we have higher education today just being a privilege for the upper class increasingly, and people who aren't in the upper class are just carrying an incredible burden of debt that is haunting them for decades.
So, David, the Congress isn't going to go along with this plan, I take it.
I don't know. But Alaska doesn't go along with it. That's all I'm saying. I don't. Yeah. I mean, I it's hard for me to say more free stuff. I think the principle is you ought to pay for there's cost to everything. There's a cost of driving your car. You got to pay that cost, you know, and it does cost.
But these are prohibitive costs of higher education.
Well, that's why Scott Walker's working to, you know, I tell you what, higher education, that's why we're, you know, I'm all in favor of these competitive models here because even the University of Wisconsin doing a great job, I think, with the new president in terms of looking at what works and controlling costs, because they are in a competitive marketplace.
Well, we're running out of time. There are a few other issues that I know we need to get to. Let's talk briefly about House Republicans reelecting John Boehner to his third term as Speaker. But 25 Republicans voted for other candidates, meaning they were defecting. And that's the highest number of defections in a very, very long time for a current Speaker. David Blaska, would you have voted for Boehner, or is it time for someone else to lead the House?
Oh, I would have voted for Boehner and my new friend, Congressman from the 6th District, help me out here, Senator...
Glenn Grothman.
Glenn Grothman, thank you. I went up there.
A conservative leader really took him to task for voting for Boehner.
I know, and Breitbart was... there was a lot of Tea Party angst over this, but, you know, who's gonna do that? First of all, I mean, I served in a legislative body for 12 years, county board, and there was 41 members when I first started. There's 435 members in the House. It's the Speaker of the House is not a lone eagle. The President is, but not the Speaker of the House. He's leading a herd of buffalo, and some of which are going in different directions. It's like herding cats. I'm mixing metaphors here. The Speaker of a large legislative body is only as liberal or as conservative as near the midpoint of his membership. And that's all that they can. So he'll be more conservative this time around because he's got the votes.
Do you have any comment on the state Supreme Court justice race that is shaping up for this spring? Anne Walsh Bradley has announced this week her intent to run again for another 10-year term. Matt?
I don't have an opinion there. I do want to say, as far as the state Supreme Court goes, that it's very crude what's going on in the state legislature right now to try to get rid of Shirley Abramson, the Chief Justice, and put an age limit on it, and then change the way you choose the Chief Justice. I can't remember the legislature going after a single high official on the court this way, and I think it really imperils judicial independence.
I was, Joy, surprised that apparently the voters some 20 years ago actually authorized this. So I don't know who brought that up. Maybe it was the nefarious Koch brothers, which are behind every single bad thing that occurs in Wisconsin, by the way, which he said was some snark.
All right, time for the Week in Review quiz. Governor Walker took to Twitter this week to take a jab at his friend and potential 2016 presidential rival, New Jersey Governor Chris Christie. Christie, who is a big Dallas Cowboys fan, was caught on camera last weekend hugging Cowboys owner Jerry Jones at the Cowboys-Lions game. Walker, who is a huge Packer backer, tweeted a picture of the kind of person that he says he, Walker, will hug after the Packers beat Dallas this Sunday. So who is Governor Walker going to hug this Sunday? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. We ask you to call in with your guess. If you are correct, we will send you a prize. So who did Governor Walker say he was going to hug after the Packers beat the Cowboys this Sunday? He sent a photo. He tweeted a photo. Who was in that photo? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email. Oh, you can't send an email. 1-800-642-1234. Well, you know, while we wait for calls to come in, the Ice Bowl 2, are you looking forward to this weekend's game, David, between the Packers and the Cowboys?
Oh, big time. And I remember that original Ice Bowl. I didn't go, unlike the, you know, the 300,000 or 400,000 people who actually did attend in Wisconsin, apparently, as time goes on. But I remember getting up for chores that morning on the farm, and I said, I can't believe they're playing football here today. I can't believe I'm out here doing chores today. Can I? You know, my father insisted that both proceed.
Matt, are you a Packers fan?
I am, and I got the Packers by 6.
All right, well, we have a contender here for our Week in Review quiz. Arnie and Oshkosh, who did Governor Walker say he was going to hug after the Packers beat the Cowboys on Sunday?
He said he was going to hug a guy wearing a cheese head with owner written on the side.
You are correct. All right. You win, Arnie. Thanks very much. We will get your contact information and send you, get this, a Wisconsin Public Radio bottle opener. So are you going to be going to the game by any chance, Arnie?
No. I'll be at home where it's warm, but I wish them well.
Yeah, watching from my nice warm living room, too, I think. So the Packers, of course, are community-owned and operate as a non-profit entity. The Cowboys are considered one of the world's most valuable sports teams, owned by billionaire Jerry Jones. Christie hit back, by the way, tweeting a picture of Walker hugging somebody while superimposing himself into that shot, along with the message, "Don't worry, there are enough awkward hugs to go around." So I think we'll have to leave it there. We're out of time. Thanks very much to both of you for being with us.
Thanks, Joy.
Matt Rothschild is the new executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, former editor of the Progressive magazine. David Blaska's a former Dane County supervisor. His Blaska's Bring It blog can be found at ibmadison.com. Thanks to Bill Martins, to Cheryl Gasser, and to Caleb Lato, who is our new producer-director here at Wisconsin Public Radio, for producing this program. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.